Welcome to the LifeCast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Something that when Jesus asked people, and when we're going to talk about when we as people ask God, we're going to look at an example of a man who asked with a pure motive and a pure heart, and God did more than even what he asked for. And how dreams can come true. Yeah, that's what we're going to look at this morning. There's a few different places, and most people who just kind of scan the scripture, they look at it as it was all one story because each of the accounts are found in a different gospel. One in Matthew chapter 20, one in Mark chapter 10, and the other one is found in Luke chapter 18. And it talks about Jesus. He was at Jericho. And in one account, it says when Jesus was leaving Jericho. And the other accounts say when Jesus was coming to Jericho or approaching Jericho with his disciples and large crowds gathered around. And of course, you know that when Jesus showed up, people were pressing in. There were large crowds, some coming with all kinds of different motives, some who wanted to be healed and some who just wanted to hear him teach, and some were just curious. And of course, Pharisees in the religious community, a lot of them were trying to show up to observe and try to trap him with questions, and all this kind of stuff was going on. And so they're always a little bit of a, I don't know, a healing riot revival kind of thing, if we could put all those words together. And in these different accounts, it says that on the two accounts, in Luke and in Mark, it says Jesus was with his disciples, a large crowd was gathered, and he was leaving Jericho. And there was a blind man, and we know him as blind Bartimaeus, who was on the side of the road, and he heard that Jesus was going by, and he starts screaming out, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" And he's shouting, and the crowd tries to, you know, quiet him, and, you know, the master's busy, and don't bother him. You just sit here and continue to beg, and, you know, stay blind. It's amazing how we sometimes as people try to hold others back. And how we sometimes set a trap for people to keep them where they're at. Maybe it's not something you've done, but maybe you've sensed it in other people. I want you to know that Jesus was anointed to set the oppressed free. Bind up or heal the brokenhearted. Maybe that's you this morning. And blind Bartimaeus on these two accounts that are recorded, he's crying out. Well, the other account in Matthew, it talks about when Jesus was leaving Jericho. And so some kind of think that it's the same story in all three accounts. Some realize that blind Bartimaeus is recorded in two because it only talks about one blind man. In Matthew, it talks about when Jesus was leaving Jericho, there was a large crowd again gathered around. There were two blind men. And they heard Jesus was passing. And so they start crying out, "Lord, Son of David." Crowd tries to quiet them. Now, we're not here to discuss whether all three accounts are the same. Whether he's arriving or leaving Jericho. We just know he's at Jericho. We're not here to argue and debate this. We're not here this morning to be theologians. We're here to look at the simple facts that Jesus was at Jericho, large crowds were there, and there was somebody, at least one, possibly two, accounts where one or two people needed sight. Both accounts where there were two men, or blind Bartimaeus calling out, "Jesus, have mercy on me, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stops, even though they were, you know, trying to be squelched by the crowd. Jesus stops. And he asks them this question, and you maybe heard me say this before, you've read it, you've heard others maybe talk about it. Jesus stops, and he asks a very interesting question. He says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" I mean, that's like, you know, an airline giving you a ticket that says, hey, wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to travel to? It's like going to a restaurant in a small sense and saying, hey, whatever you want off the menu. By the way, nice to see you, Jeremy. He works a lot of Sundays, so it's just nice to see him. I work Sundays too. Well, only half a day. But, you know. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus knows that they're blind. But he also understands humanity. I've been with people and said, well, hey, what is it, you know, what is it you want? Or what is it, you know, came to talk about? Or what, you know, there are some obvious things maybe to our eyes or our perception that they probably have need of. But I've had people talk to me about other stuff than just, you know, what would be obvious. So Jesus understands humanity, but he wants to hear them. He says, what is it that's on your mind? What is it you want me to do for you? I want you to think for a moment. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to the scripture, he does not change. If we are to understand God's word that is written to us, these accounts of history and what Jesus did and how he treated people, if he's the same, then understand he's doing the same thing today. I mean, he came to save and redeem and heal and set people free. He came to show himself. People have a lot of questions or skepticism about him. And you know what? You can provide wonderful answers for people, even scriptural, biblical answers. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily convince people into faith or conviction. What we need to understand is that there's a moment where Jesus reveals himself to an individual and they go, whoa. And all the questions kind of get put to the side because of an experience they have with him. I'd like us to experience Jesus in this room this morning. I mean, I really don't want to come here and just kind of play church. I really don't. This isn't about just getting a bunch, for me, it's not just about getting a bunch of people to come and sit in the pew on Sunday morning and, you know, I can talk to them. So I, most of the time, I don't really preach, and I'm not criticizing myself. I don't preach great sermons and try to wow people. I just want people to come and experience the presence of the Lord. If you were trying to hear the, you know, the greatest preacher in the area, my hunch is you're not going to be here. We want to experience him. There were men who had a need they couldn't see. And they called out. You know, it's interesting. There's places in the scripture, just like in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, they who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Saved. From their sin, which all of us, me, we need saving from. The consequences that separate us from God. We need to be saved, forgiven of our sin. If you're in this room, you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, he is your healer. If you're brokenhearted and you call upon the name of the Lord, he knows how to mend broken hearts. It's what Jesus was anointed to do. Isaiah the prophet wrote about it. Jesus read it. He said, I'm anointed. The Spirit, an anointing, an empowering that goes beyond that which is natural to supernatural, not the limitations that you and I face. Jesus was anointed to break oppression, habits, cyclical things, things that were passed on to us. the effects sometimes that we have from things that happened to us in the past. And afterwards, it kind of changed how we think and how we live and how we make decisions and how we feel and how we operate in relationships. And it's hindered us. Jesus came to fix all that. You know, what if Jesus were in this room today, as if he's not? But what if he could show up like he did in the Gospels? And he found out that you were calling on him. And he comes your way and says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" It's kind of like a prayer request. I mean, we put it in terms of a prayer request. God, this is what I'm asking you. The interesting thing is they were calling on the Lord. Who do you call on? Who do you look to? Is your need great enough that it drives you beyond maybe social protocol? I mean, Jesus was passing by and blind men screamed out in a crowd, "Lord, have mercy on me. I want my sight." Here in this place, move over a little. We follow protocol. We sit in the pew and we have a need. Maybe the need's great enough that it preoccupies us, it hinders us from sometimes focusing and concentrating. Don't let your neck get sore. And we have a need. We come in, we stand up, we sit down, we sing the songs, and you feel the need, and service is over, and you walk out with your need unmet. Maybe we need to lose a little bit of social protocol and sacrifice it on the altar of faith. And what I mean is, maybe it's our need has got to be great enough, or our hurt has to be deep enough, or our lostness, we have to be lost. Our desire to be saved or healed drives us out of social protocol where in worship, maybe tears flow down your face because you really want God to show up in this room for you. Maybe it drives you to your knees. Maybe you can't stand and you just got to drop your head in your hands. Maybe it's where you get out of your seat and you come and kneel at the front, or you stand, or whatever it is. I mean, when you came in this morning, there was nothing on the walls of our lobby and there's nothing in the bulletin that says, "This is how you will behave when we sing songs. You will stand up when you're told to stand up. You'll sit down when you're told to sit down. And you don't speak unless somebody asks you a question. And then you have to discern whether it's rhetorical or not." You know, this is supposed to be a place of faith. A place that is a house of prayer where we call upon the Lord. And out of his grace and mercy and compassion, he can hear us and he can draw near to people. But are we just singing songs, or are we like the blind man on the side of the road that says, "I'm going to go beyond the social protocol and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord because I need him. Yes. I need to be healed. I need to be set free. I need my life to change. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I'm tired of hurting myself. I'm tired of hurting relationships. I'm not giving relationships the best opportunity because I operate in a little bit of a warped pattern because I got hurt somewhere. And I never mended, and so I healed a little funky, a little funny, and I limp through life like that." And then it becomes normal. And we think, well, it's not so bad. You know, everybody has this. And so that makes it acceptable because other people have it? Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Jesus asks the question, and you are not excluded. What is it that you want him to do for you? Now it leads us to James, the apostle, James chapter 4. I'm going to read this to you, James chapter 4, because we know that we're supposed to pray about everything. We know we can ask, seek, and knock. We hear the question this morning that was asked to these blind men, both at his coming and going to Jericho, and that this morning we can apply it to our life because God hasn't changed. That he asked you, what is it you want him to do for you? Well, James writes this. Chapter 4. Later part of verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive what you ask for. Why? James says, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Motive has a lot to do because, you know, we can convince people around us by sometimes the expression and the words we use. We can fool people. But the Bible says that God sees past the outside to the inside. He knows the real motives of your heart, my heart. He knows the real motives. We can argue a really great case, and it can have enough truth in it that it can sometimes convince people. But if we take that to God, he looks way past the words. He looks past our articulate argument. And he looks at the motive and the passion of the heart. And our motives can hinder our prayers. Let me tell you another thing that can hinder our prayers when we ask God. He asks us, what do you want me to do for you? And then we ask him what we want him to do for us. If you look in the earlier verses, it says here, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. I want you to know, quarreling, fighting, wrong motives, all those things where pride and arrogance and selfishness are behind or involved in us, I want you to know that those things hinder our prayers. I mean, God hears our words. The blind man moved beyond social protocol and being acceptable, and they just wanted to see. I mean, is that a bad motive? I mean, you know, they could have said, you know, I'm blind, I'm getting along. It's not great, but you know, I'm getting along. There are some who are worse off than me. What do I have to complain about? You know, I've got a license to beg, and, you know, people have been pretty generous, and so, you know, I walk away with some in my little basket every day. People having compassion on me, and I guess that's God's will. They expressed faith. And when Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, I want to see. I mean, we have been made, we have been created to want to be healthy, to want to see, to want to smell, to want to hear. Certainly we want to taste. These are not wrong things. It's the way we were made. It's not wrong for you to want to be healthy. It's not wrong for you to want to be loved. It's not wrong for you to want to be forgiven. These are not corrupt motives. These are not wrong things. So ask him. Ask. Keep asking. They kept yelling, Lord, Have mercy on me. I want to see. Is that so much? Is that bad? Is that wrong? I know there are some in greater need, but I want to see. Does it make you selfish? Not at all. You were made to want to see. Issues that are physical, issues of the heart, issues of the soul. It's not wrong to ask. And it's not about who's worse off. And it's not about complaining. It's about becoming who God intended you to be and how he wants you to be healed and how he wants to show himself as a savior and as a healer. It's not about making excuses. Hey, if you're in this room and it's like, I need Jesus to set me free from the oppression of this habit, I've got a will that says, yes, I want to do it, and the moment it comes around, I fail. Yeah, we're supposed to discipline ourselves, but we're supposed to rely on his Holy Spirit to help us. Jesus knows how to set the oppressed free. He knows how to do it. He's anointed to do it. He has the power to do it. Ask him. Oh, I've asked him before, and I did good for a while, and then I failed, and my faith failed me. Well, I'm not going to tell you that that's not important or that it doesn't matter. All I'm going to tell you is welcome to the club. And yeah, we've got to grow and we've got to, you know, have faith that we've developed through brokenness and through failure. You know, it's a great little statement. Lord, help me to make better mistakes tomorrow. Not the same mistakes, not caught in my folly. Help me to grow and develop. And as I make new mistakes, help me to continue to grow and develop. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want him to do for you this morning? Ask with a pure heart. Don't ask with wrong motives. If you have wrong motives, just tell him, I know I got wrong motive in this. Tell him. I already know that you see that. I already know that you know me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Even though I have wrong motive, this is still what I'm asking. Now help me to ask the right things. Maybe what we're asking for is the right thing, but our motive is wrong. So Lord, change my motives that I can still ask for the same thing, but have the right heart in doing it. It's about the heart issue with God. It's about the condition of the heart. It's about genuine faith. It's about real life prayers, not fancy words. Jesus says, what can I do for you? And they answered. And James advises us as fighting, quarreling, pride, the arrogance, the selfishness that's all involved in that, the wrong motives, all of that is hindering. It's delaying the blessing that you seek. There's somebody who asked with the right motive. Doesn't mean his whole life was pure or holy or he did everything right. But in 1 Kings, the Old Testament, chapter 3, a son of King David became king. His name was Solomon. 1 Kings, chapter 3, I'll start reading in verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant, he's talking about himself, Solomon, king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child. I do not know how to carry out my duties. He's overwhelmed. He has the responsibility of being king, and he doesn't know how to do it. He's in over his head. I want you to know that's no different than being in any life situation that says, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to change things. I've tried things. They just don't work. I'm trying to satisfy the longings of my heart. You think I should know how to do that because it's my heart, but I don't know how to do it. Anytime we're overwhelmed or don't have the answers, this is a great prayer of Solomon. He just says, hey, listen, I'm immature. I'm like a child. I don't know how to be king. I don't know how to function as king. I don't know all the duties, let alone know how to do the duties of king. He says, your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart. Ooh, he's asking for something to be done in his heart. Little clue again for us. God looks at the heart. Give me a discerning heart to know how to govern your people and to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Wow, what a request. Give me a discerning heart. Let me know what's right and what's wrong and help me to see the difference. For who is able to govern this great people of yours, God? Listen to verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. He was pleased. God, in other words, God got happy. God had a satisfaction. He heard his prayer for wisdom, for discernment, to know what's right, to know what's wrong, to be able to see life situation clearly. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment in administering justice. I want you to know justice is a really big issue with God. Being just. Being right. Doing things right. Not only in the public eye, but who we are when no one's watching. The motives of our heart. The justice of God. He says, because you've asked for these things, the wisdom, the discerning heart, how to administer justice. I will do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be, let me read this again. And I'm in third grade. And discerning heart so that there, told you, you can go hear greater preachers other places. I'm just telling you right now. I'm not trying to make you feel smarter than me. You just simply are. So we'll just. Verse 12. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you. Nor will there ever be. You know, Solomon is known as the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus. The wisest man. He still made some mistakes, but he was the wisest. This was his prayer. It was like God showing up and saying, oh, you're having a prayer time. What is it you want me to do for you? And Solomon puts aside all of these other things that he could ask for. And he says, I need a discerning heart. I need to know how to administer justice. I mean, who can rule over these people? I'm overwhelmed. I don't know my way out. I don't know how to do things. I really need you to give me what it takes. God was pleased. Answers his prayer. Now get this. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. He said, I will give you what you've asked for. And because God was so pleased, he said, I will give you even those things that you did not ask for. That God, if he had the ability to anticipate because he knew humanity, I mean, you know, it's like the whole terrible idea of finding the lamp and rubbing it. And, you know, you get three wishes. Oh, what do you ask for? Oh, more wishes or wealth or, you know, all this stuff. Not Solomon. He asked for issues of the heart so that he could be the person that he needed to be. What is it you need God to do for you that you could be the person that you need to be? What healing has to take place? What attitude has to change? Whatever it is, maybe you need a physical healing because you need it to function in life so that you can do what you need to do. Maybe it's a healing of the heart so that you can be who you need to be in the relationship that you're in or the relationship you desire. The list goes on. He says, moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, not only what you asked for. I will give you both riches and honor so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways, here it is, get this. I'm going to answer. I'm going to do these things for you. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David, your father, did, I will give you long life too. Now get this, verse 15. This is interesting. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it was a dream. Here's the interesting thing. Look at Solomon's life. He lived quite a while. He had wealth. I mean, lots of wealth. And he was wise. And he was able to discern between right and wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that he always did what was right. God said, I was so pleased with what you asked. I'm going to do what you asked. And you've expressed faith in me. You have called upon me. He was saying, Lord, you know, have mercy on me. I don't know how to be king. It's kind of like saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to see. Calling upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Here's the thing. You can hear the question that I posed to you that says, what if Jesus came to this room this morning and asked you, what is it you want me to do for you? You could sit here and say, that's a dream. That would be a dream. I've got five requests that I don't even have to think about. They could just roll off my tongue, off the top of my head without thinking. I've got a list. I live with the list. Or I know what it is because I live with the pain every day. Or I know what it is because I limp through life in my soul because of what's happened to me. You don't have to think about it. You know maybe what your request is. Solomon awoke, but the reality is that all he dreamt, supposedly, manifested in his life. And I want you to hear this. His dream actually came true. What is it that you could dream about? What is it that you wish? Because Jesus hasn't changed. And he says, what is it you want me to do for you? When you ask, don't ask with wrong motives. Because you will not receive the blessing that you seek. If you're busy fighting and quarreling, and it's selfishness, and I don't care if it's out of hurt, and you try to justify your quarreling and your fighting, I want you to know your prayers are hindered. James tells us. He doesn't tell us that to condemn us because we've been doing it. He tells us that so that it can be resolved, so that we can step into answered prayers. And if we set our course this year on seeking God, finding God, getting a hold of God, experiencing God, and there's some things that we've got to put to rest. Selfish quarrels. Wrong motives. We got to come clean. And say, God, this is my request. This is my prayer. This is my asking. This is my need, and it's going to take me beyond social protocol and religious conduct. It's going to cause me to behave as a person who wants to see you, who wants to know you, and who desperately needs help. So worship team, why don't you come? Why don't you come? And the rest of us, why don't you just stand up all over this room? We're going to enter into a time of where we sing, but it's not about singing. It's about worshiping Him. It's about looking to Him. It's about calling out to Him. Maybe you're so beat up and hurt and broken and you're sapped of energy. You can be in bed for enough hours, but you don't get restful sleep because you're preoccupied or the pain doesn't leave you, whether it's physical or it's of the heart. Maybe you're here and say, well, life's pretty good, but you know what? My relationships aren't the best. They're not really what God intended because I was hurt when I was a kid, or I grew up in this kind of home, or something happened to you a few times through life and you decided, that's it. I'm just going to function like this. It's safer. God wants to deliver you today. He wants to heal you today. Those of you who are believers, you Christians in this room, and you profess Christ for some time, and you read His Word, and you do have faith in Him, and you've prayed before, but change hasn't come for you, and you carry a little bit of private guilt over it because you do proclaim Him and you do profess the Scripture. But you've never been totally delivered and healed. And you're still saved, still have faith in Him. But you've accepted some things in your life where you thought that it wouldn't change or ever change. Or you thought because you stayed a Christian and it was still in your life and it's maybe private, you just thought that it was okay with God, or it's His will, or it's acceptable. And all the time that Jesus spoke and said things, I don't know that I can find anywhere where He says, that's good enough. It's just like the man that, another man who was blind, and Jesus touched him and said, can you see? He says, well, and I'm paraphrasing, well, not completely, but I do see men walking around like trees. Jesus ministered to him again until he could see. It wasn't good enough. And if you and I develop a good enough mentality in our faith and our struggle with these things in life, it's a limitation to faith. It's a limit to who God has called you to be and how you can live. Those of you who are careful doctrine watchers, that's good. Got to have sound doctrine. And you're worried this morning, you're saying, hey, this is running a real close line to, you know, blab it, grab it, and prosperity gospel. Listen, I ain't talking about blabbing and grabbing. I'm talking about getting a pure motive and get your heart in the right place. Seek God to call upon His name and let Him heal you. So we're going to go into a time of praise and worship and adoration. And they might be upbeat songs and they might slow down. It doesn't matter. It's about finding God in this place and letting Him find you. It's about calling on His name. It's not just about having so-and-so pray for you. It's about getting close to Jesus and let him minister to you this morning. And if it takes you outside of social protocol, not that you want to make a scene or be disruptive, but if it takes you outside of social protocol so that you can get close to him, some physical expression of what's going on inside because you so desperately want him to minister to you, because you want to see, or because you need wisdom, or because you need healing, or you need discipline, or you need his grace, or you need forgiveness, then just ask him. Because he's the same today. What can I do for you? I've heard you call out to me. What can I do for you? Ask him. During this time of worship, I want you to ask him. I don't want you to just sing the words. Recognize his presence in this room. And maybe that's new for you. Maybe you're visiting and saying, oh man, we were visiting a church. This is way different than anything. Oh, what? Listen, you don't have to come back. I mean, I'd like you to, but you don't have to. But before you leave, would you experience Jesus in this room? That's the biggest deal to me. It's not whether you come and sit in this pew. It's about whether you got in touch with the Lord. It's what I want for you. It's what I want for me. So what is it the Lord can do for you today? Why don't you let him know? And why don't you respond accordingly? Call out to his name. Basically, this is turning into a worship prayer time. And if you want to get out from your seat and come to the front and kneel or stand or find a corner, you take appropriate liberties in this place, whatever it takes to seek him, to find him. I want to do one thing before we do that, is I want to give an opportunity for people in this room who maybe your relationship isn't right with Jesus. You know it's not in order. But you want to tell him that you want it to be in order. And you're not sure how to do it, maybe. But you just want to ask him, forgive me. I want to receive your love in my life. I want to be changed. I don't even know what all that means. I just know that I want to respond to your forgiveness and kindness to me this morning. Because if that's really who you are, then I want you in my life. And if that's you in this room, I want to take a moment and pray for you before we go any further. So I'm going to say a prayer. But I do want to know who I'm praying for. So how we're going to do this is everybody's going to close their eyes and bow their head. And if that's you in this room and you're saying, I want to be included in that prayer, all you have to do is look up at me or raise your hand so I can see it. You can put it back down and say, I need the Lord to forgive me. I need him. I want him in my life. You just do that. Respond quickly right now so I can see yes, 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 yeah, yeah. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Yeah, God bless you. Yes. Anybody else? If I missed you, I'm sorry. Yep. You can look up at me or just raise a hand. I want to pray for you. Father, thanks for being so forgiving and gracious to us, to me. You see those in this room who raised their hand. Lord, I want you to see it like they were crying out on the roadside that they need spiritual healing. So forgive them. Jesus, we believe in your blood. We believe in your crucifixion. We believe you gave your life so that we could be saved. You rose from the dead because you took the keys of death and hell. You are the Lord of life. So bring eternal life and salvation to those in this room who either raise their head or raise their hand and say they want to be included in this prayer. Let today be a day of salvation and assurance for them. Get close to them. Help them to follow you, not just in this moment, but all the following moments, to begin to be able to discern between right and wrong, to be able to have right motives and ask right prayers, that you would answer, not only give to them what they asked for, but leave behind other blessings like you did for Solomon. Lord, we ask that this morning in Jesus' name, the name above every name, the name by which we're saved and we call upon. So Holy Spirit, move freely in this room now as others begin to answer the question you ask. What is it you can do for them? Purify our hearts. Set us free. Crush oppression. Bring liberty to people. Healing to bodies, healing to souls, healing to relationships, healing from the past. Help them to forgive the past. Help them to step forth in new life today in this room. Oh, Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, minister freely now as we call upon your name and lift up your name. And as we go to prayer and as we seek you, we express our need for you. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Holy is the name of the Lord. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Holy is the Lord. He is sovereign. His presence is here. Is today the day of salvation for you?
You are the sovereign I am. Your name is holy.
Seek the Lord today. Sing to Him. You are sovereign.
You are.
holy.
Your name is holy. Your name is holy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give glory to the Lord. Your name is holy, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.